to collect intelligence on foreign citizens. But occasionally, American citizens are caught up in it as well. So it's causing a heated privacy battle. And to kind of get to the bottom of what the government is thinking about doing, what the current status of it all is, I'd like to welcome now Matthew Hyman. He's the former national security attorney at the Department of Justice, and he's a visiting fellow with the National Security Institute at George Mason University's Antonin Scalia Law School and the chairman of the Regulatory Transparency Project. Matthew, good morning. Welcome to Mornings on the Mall.
Good morning. Good to be with you.
Nice to have you. So what's the status here? I've seen some conflicting information about this, but the notion is the U.S. government still collecting information under the current FISA rules?
That's correct. So you'll recall that towards the end of last year, being 2017, the authority under the under FISA to do this type of collection was set to expire on December 31st.
Right.
And in a flurry of activity in December, as part of a broader package of a budget renewal, the agreement by everyone was to kick this authority out until January 19th, which is when it now expires. And that's why the House continues to work on this issue, because they don't have a permanent solution.
Although the Office of the Director of National Intelligence argues it lasts until April of this year. So I guess Congress and their office will be in conflict if it gets that far. But they're debating it now. What are the terms of the debate?
Well, I think the terms are this. If you're a civil libertarian, and there's a combination, so there are civil libertarians that might be liberal Democrats, and there are also libertarian-oriented Republicans that say they are concerned because the type of collection that goes on sometimes picks up information from U.S. persons that are in contact with these foreign individuals, which is really the target of the law. The law is focused on foreigners that may be engaged in terrorism or other acts that threaten national security. And when U.S. persons come in contact with them, so if I'm talking to a terrorist and I'm a U.S. person living in Connecticut, I may be caught up in that collection. And that's the concern of the civil libertarians.
But you know that it's not just terrorists, of course, who are the foreigners who are monitored. Carter Page wasn't talking to a terrorist when he was swept up in a FISA search.
No, of course not. And so the authority that the U.S. government has had for years and years allows it to monitor people that it believes are engaged in acts that threaten national security. So you're right. It's not just terrorism. It could be proliferation of nuclear weapons. It could be adversary countries like Iran, North Korea, Russia, as you just pointed out. So it's a really important authority. And the importance of the authority is so great that it makes up about 25% of what ultimately winds up in the presidential daily briefing. So it's an invaluable intelligence asset that is critical to our national security, and it's critical that we not jeopardize it. And I think that's why when you hear from former government officials, both from the Obama administration, the former Bush administration, everyone agrees this is an incredibly valuable intelligence tool that we've got to get right, and we can't cut that take off, because otherwise we're going blind.
But what about calls for restrictions coming from members of the House Freedom Caucus, Republican members of the House Judiciary Committee, in light of what happened with President-elect Trump?
Well, I think those are two different issues, and it's unfortunate that they've been conflated. I think the thing I am most worried about is after 9/11, when the 9/11 Commission came together and they looked at all the things that went wrong, one of the things that they pointed to was this idea of a wall. And the wall was where you keep criminal investigators on one side and intelligence investigators on the other, and you don't allow them to exchange information. And the reason they were so worried about that was because there was evidence that the FBI and other parts of the intelligence community in the run-up to 9/11 had different pieces of information that may have helped identify some of the 9/11 plotters, but they weren't talking to each other because they thought they weren't allowed to. And the 9/11 Commission said, that's wrong, we've got to go away from that. And we did. We made the right moves to allow those two sets of investigators to talk to each other.
Right, Matt, but that's, Matt, if you don't mind, just because we're short on time, that's one thing, the idea that our agencies should communicate with one another. That seems logical, I think, to most people. The problem here, of course, with Section 702 and FISA is the idea that American communications are being swept up. And I think Americans get nervous about that because they both have a Fourth Amendment right and because they believe it's wrong for the government to in any way monitor them.
Well, I would say this. Every judge that's looked at the program and the incidental, and there are minimization procedures that deal with the incidental collection of American contact with these foreigners. And I think that the judges that have looked at it, they've all said this passes Fourth Amendment muster. And the worry I have is in an incident like the Las Vegas shooting, that gentleman, we didn't know what his connections were in the immediate aftermath of the death of all those people.
That's right.
And what the law allows right now is for them to take his name and ping it against this database and say, did he have any contacts with ISIS? Did he have any contacts with any foreign power that might want to do us harm? And with some of the proposals that are being made on the Hill, it would slow down or impede our ability to know that information.
With a guy like that, it's obviously key. You'd want to get a warrant to establish it. Unfortunately, Matt, we're out of time this morning, but I really appreciate you giving us some insight. We'll chat again soon, though.
Sounds good. Thank you for your time.
Absolutely.